This is Shane Sands. I am blessed to be your host today on Gospel Alliance Radio. Exciting show today. I've actually been just anxiously awaiting today's program. I am going to be joined by two very dear brothers today, one from South Africa, one from Ireland. Just cannot tell you how joyful I am to have these brothers joining me today. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, Gospel Alliance Radio is a ministry of United in Christ Jesus. It is a ministry that the Lord Jesus has entrusted to me. Our sole purpose, our sole goal is to glorify God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do is based upon the free gift of God, eternal life, that comes by repentance and faith for those who bow their knee, confess their sins, and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. Today's program is going to be focused on missions and evangelism. I have great joy in announcing that the Lord granted to me a prayer request that has been going on for 5 years. Ever since laboring with this brother back in 2009, my very first short-term missions trip was to Northern Ireland in a small little town called Mill Isle, and it was actually at the church where Amy Carmichael, her parents built it. Amy Carmichael, the famous missionary who went to India, she went to school there, and I got to meet this man who I was quite taken with, because there was just a joy to make Christ Jesus known. He wanted to reach into people's lives in the midst of wherever they were, whether it was despair, whether it was, you know, joyful circumstances, regardless of where they were in life, he wanted to make Christ Jesus known to them. And that brother is John Doyle, and he's going to be joining us first today. And welcome, John.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice, Shane.
Hey, amen. Well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to be giving a little more introduction about John and who he is, and at least what he's meant to me and how the Lord has used him in my life. For those of you who have not joined us before, this is really basically the format that's going to happen. Every show, I like to start off reading a little scripture, something that has something to do with the program. I'll have a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to get in, and I'm basically going to introduce John, and I'm going to want to have this first half of the program, John and his wife Barbara, talk about Cape Town, South Africa, where they're based out of, and the ministry that's been entrusted to them, and just really hear their heart, be able to see what the Lord's put upon them. And then we're going to talk a little bit towards the end about what's coming up in October. So I thought today I would begin and I would read 15 verses from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. I think it's quite appropriate for today. So with that, the word of the Lord. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. O righteous Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness and your mercy, for a love that we cannot comprehend. Though it has been displayed perfectly and gloriously in the sending of your Son to live the life we could not, to die the death that we deserve, to rise victorious, vindicating your name in his sacrifice, that whoever would call upon your Son, confess their sins, turn from them, and trust in him, his finished work, that you would speak, let there be light in their heart, and that they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and turn and be saved. O righteous Father, you are majestic and glorious. Above all, you are beautiful. You dwell in unapproachable light. You act, and who can reverse it? You are glorious. You have sent your Son. You have done for us what we could not do. Bless you for your unfailing love. Bless you for your faithfulness. Bless you that you are faithful even when we are faithless. How great are you? Righteous Father, I do ask in the name of Christ that this program would be glorifying to you, exalting him, that you would bless those who would hear, that you would grant Brother John and Sister Barbara and Brother Shane to speak, that your Spirit would take those words and plant them as seeds in people's hearts, that they would earnestly intercede and pray for, that they might come alongside and support, that you would even now be preparing hearts and souls for those where you are sending us, that they too might have eternal life. O righteous Father, you are good, and we ask these things and give you thanks. Amen. All right. Well, friends, I have John Doyle on the phone here. On Blog Talk. Just as I was mentioning earlier, Brother John, I met him first in 2009 in Mill Isle, Northern Ireland. From that time forward, we stayed in touch off and on via emails, that type of communication. And then in 2012, I was granted another great honor, and I consider it a tremendous honor. I was granted to partner with him and six other pastors from South Africa during the 2012 Olympics in London, in which I've got to be a part of and stand with these men of God who would continue to sing and to share and to preach and to pray and to lift up the name above all names, Jesus Christ. And ever since that time, it has been my hope that I would be able to unite once again. And this year, I now have that opportunity. With that being said, Brother John, will you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, about you and Barbara, about the ministry the Lord's entrusted to you, and what's on your heart? What's going on in South Africa?
Well, first of all, Shane, we'd really like to thank you for the opportunity to share with you a little bit about what we're doing here. You probably gathered already from my accent that I'm actually British. And we came out to South Africa in 1975.
Wow.
And we landed on the ship in Cape Town. And there in Cape Town, we traveled up to Johannesburg. And I was actually working then in those days. I didn't know the Lord. But my wife had come to know the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade in Manchester,
oh, wow,
England in 1961. And so she married this Catholic boy, and we came out to South Africa. I was on business. And then this American missionary by the name of Jack Moorman the wonderful missionary, led me to the Lord in 1976 in Johannesburg, South Africa, and changed my life forever and the life of our family. And so we got involved in the ministry there in Johannesburg. We were busy with that, and yes, we also went to Bible college. We got training, and then following the training, we went into church planting, which planted three churches in disadvantaged areas up in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I have been very busy, and then in the year 2001, God called us to come out to down to Cape Town to work in the township ministries here, and that's really what we've been doing. We've planted several churches, and we minister to over 240 pastors in the area. Some of them you met in London, if you remember, when we walked the streets of London to show the love of Jesus. And so we're connected with a lot of guys, and we do work with them in terms of training them, sharing God's word with them. And that's one of our ministry goals, is to build what we call a godly heritage. So when we leave this earth one day, leave a heritage that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's our plans in the days and years ahead, and as the Lord allows. So that's what we're doing, and now we're focusing our attention mainly in the township areas and the disadvantaged areas. And maybe Barbara would like to say a word about that.
I'm Barbara, hello. My heart's really with the destitute people who live in shanty towns, I think you would call them. They live in shacks made of corrugated iron or cardboard with a dirt floor and nothing inside. And children, sometimes even naked, come to the line up for what we have to give. And we feed them. And I see it as a mercy ministry, an act of mercy to these people who have so little. But it's not about the clothing and the food that we take. That's just a means to have the right to share Jesus with them. And we just love on them. We pray with them. We're there for them, and they, as soon as they see our vehicle, they come, they make a really orderly line and wait to see what we're going to share with them. And we share, we might have a preacher, we might sing, and then we feed them because they're hungry. So really, you need to give them something to eat before you can share the gospel with them. They might not have eaten for days.
Yeah.
And so that's my heart, is reaching these people with the love of God. Many of them have had a father, and so they don't understand God the Father. And we as seniors go to represent that those people that have been missing in their lives, the parental love, and then display and explain the love of God the Father.
Amen. Amen. That is that's just really touching. I don't think people here in the States really have an idea, a concept of really how destitute it is over there. And so when you talk about children who don't have father figures in their lives, that, as you just said, they may not have eaten for a couple of days. When you talk about living conditions, things that we would take for just commonplace, and things that we would, water, plumbing, little things like that, that can be sometimes a struggle and or just a hope. And then you go in and you actually, heart's broken, wanting to love on your neighbor, make provision.
Yes, exactly.
And amen. That is something
just so you might have some statistics, Shane.
50, sure, 50, please.
Actually, close to 60% of the population of the townships are under the age of 19. So there's many fatherless and motherless children. Plus, we have a situation where there's vast unemployment. 80% of the men that can work can't find employment. So there's great poverty in the townships.
Oh, man.
And we have quite a challenge, but at the same time, we have a great and mighty God that opens the door for us to be able to share the love of God, and we've reached many, many souls and many children with the gospel and with the love of Jesus. And over the last 4 years, Shane, God has made it possible for us to build 3 community centers. 2 in Kailicha and 1 in Lavender Hill, where we build a community center where we feed the children, help the families, have a church there every Sunday to share the word of God and disciple. And that's the key. If we're going to build that godly heritage, which is one of our goals, we have to disciple the children, disciple the next generation, so that the next generation will make a difference in the generation to come. And so that's our goal. And that's our plan.
Wow. Praise the Lord. I immediately think of train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so when you reach into these people's lives and you are discipling and teaching the way of God accurately and showing and opening up God's word, that as they grow older, there's that foundation, not on sinking sand, but a solid rock. And that solid rock is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I think this might be a really good time, a little good segue here. For those who are listening in, Brother John has got quite a voice. He is quite a gifted singer. And I've gotten permission, and I've got the blessing of having a couple of songs from a CD that they put out. And I would like, with your permission, sir, to play a song real quick. It's Who Will Be Jesus to Them. Okay. Is that okay? All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and start this up. And, John, don't be bashful. You got a great voice. All right, here you go.
Remember, it's also my daughter Jennifer singing with you.
Amen. Have John sing if I'm around, because I will cause people to run away. My brother will bring them in. What a beautiful voice, brother. What? That's just quite lovely. Amen. Amen. Very, very beautiful song. Thank you for
thank you for
letting me play that. You know, John, you were talking about you've been able to build some community centers, and you go in, and as I'm thinking through this, that's got to take a lot of time, a lot of manpower. Obviously, we know that it takes resources. Yeah. Can you give us kind of an idea? Take us through. I know with Cape Missions International, you're training up pastors. You're reaching into communities. You're actually on the front line every day with the gospel, with providing not only the food, the shelter, but how does this process go? How long does it take you from the time that you think about, hey, where we're going to go, and how we get that actually brought to fruition?
Well, it's Shane, it's something that we have been working on now for the last 7 years. And what we do basically is we identify the key areas where there is a need, where there's a lot of people, a lot of orphans, a lot of children that don't have homes. We identify those spots, and then we try to find a piece of land. And generally in the informal areas, as they call it here in South Africa, you don't have to purchase the land. All you have to do is secure the land. And if you go to the government offices and say we want to build a community center and so on, generally speaking, they provide the land for you. Once we've secured the land, then because I was, prior to being in full-time ministry, I was in the shipping business. And I was with P&O Shipping in the UK. And so I'm very linked in to the container world. And therefore, we built the community centers using containers, some of which have been donated to us, most of which we've had to purchase, but at very good prices. But obviously, the foundations have to go in and all of that. But we've used the container system to put the community centers together that I was telling you about earlier. And if you were to go into those community centers today and see the impact that they're having on the children in those areas, it's just amazing. You'll see it when you come in October.
Oh, I amen. I am. And the reason why I'm saying this and I'm bringing these things up, because I have, you can go on to Facebook, and you can go either to Cape Missions International or look up John Doyle, and you will you will actually see some of these containers and how they transform these. And then you're going to see a bunch of little children, a bunch of children. And also you're going to see adults in here. And you're going to be seeing that not only are we reaching the children, but you guys are actually helping to train up the adults as well. And I see these centers, and I look at it and I go, not only is that an undertaking, that's got to be a full-time devotion in prayer, consistently, just day in, day out, you know, step by step, training up pastors, training up. That is just it's a tremendous undertaking, and it's a praise to the Lord for His grace that He has put within you and Barbara to reach these people, to bring them Christ. And I say bring it to them, because so often here in America, at least, it's like we got a church on every corner. We think, you know, we want to make the church as comfortable as possible so we can bring people in. But you guys actually, day in, day out, are going to them where they are and reaching into their lives. And how much more of a difference that makes than, you know, sitting back. And sadly, here in America, a lot of us have that mentality that we're just going to sit in our church and wait for people to come in. You guys bring the church to them. You go to them. You bring the gospel to them. And I've always found that just a tremendous blessing in my life. And it's had an impact in my life, as I've shared.
Well, you know, you mentioned there, sorry, Shane, you mentioned there earlier about, you said we go step by step. Guess what the first community center is called in Khayelitsha Township?
What's that?
It's called Step by Step.
Oh, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love hearing that. That's fantastic.
And there's over 600 children in there now.
What? Yeah, you go, boy. I love it.
Yeah, you'll meet them. You're going to meet them.
I can tell you, we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, but I'm telling you, for 5 years, I've asked the Lord to open the door and to bring me. It's actually perhaps the single greatest burden that's been on my heart. Right there with Norway, when I went to spend time in Norway to help open up a home church there, this has been such a burden on my heart. I'm just overwhelmed and humbled that the Lord would grant me to be able to come there. And I am eager to come and see and just bring back a great report of what the Lord's doing down there in and through you guys. So I wanted to try and segue a little bit here, because there is a ministry with Cape Missions International that I think people need to hear about, because Barbara was touching on it a little bit ago, and this is the Happy, Happy, Happy Feet ministry. I want to let her to talk a little bit about it, but this is one of those ministries that you think it's just, you know, not think just, it's humanitarian in one way, but in another way, it is probably, in my opinion, without having seen it firsthand, the single greatest ability to reach into children's and families' lives and not only make physical provision, but by God's grace and for His glory, make eternal provision if He grants their eyes to open. Barbara, would you take a little time to tell us about this ministry, how it came about, and just share a little burden of your heart with this?
I will do that. We had three children. Our eldest son is the pastor in Chicago at Winnetka Bible Church. Our second child is a daughter, and she is a musician, singer, songwriter. She's a gospel singer. She worship leader. That's Jenny. And then the third was a daughter as well, and her name's Kim. And Kim was a school teacher, preschool, small children. If she walked into a room, all the small children somehow gravitated towards her, as they do when children know you love them. They just want to be with you. We'd been in church one Sunday morning. She was with us. It was in March 2009. And John had preached, and we were driving home out of the township. And at the side of the road, there were a group of about six children sitting at the side of the road. And we passed by, and she said, "So, Dad, now you've just preached." This was Kim. "You've just preached. What are you going to do? Are you just going to pass by on the other side?" And he was like, "Well, you know how you feel when you've just preached. You're pretty tired. You want to get have some to eat, go and have a little nap." And she said, he said to her, "What would you like me to do?" And she said, "Well, we have to do something. Let's go to the shop and buy something for these children." And so we went to a supermarket and we bought some bread rolls and some fruit and some juice for them. And then she went around a corner and they had some clothing and they had these little imitation crop plastic shoes. And she said, "Let's take them some of these." None of them had shoes on. And so she bought about 8 or 10 pairs, and we got in the car and we're thinking they probably won't even still be there, you know. But of course they were. And she got out of the car and we got out with her, and she went and she sat in the dirt with these children in her church clothes, sat on the floor in the dirt and talked to them, gave them the things to eat. And then she took these little bare feet and she brushed off the dirt with her hands and placed these shoes on these children's feet. And she said to them, "I want to pray with you." And she prayed that these children would walk in the footsteps of Jesus all the days of their lives. It was a very moving moment for us as parents.
Yes.
And we went home and did what you do. And that was in March 2009. In April 2009, God took her home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first day before she passed away, she changed her Facebook page, a new picture, and her profile. All it said was, "Happy, happy, happy." On Thursday evening, on Saturday evening, God took her home. And so now we were having a funeral service for her, a memorial service, and people wanted to send money for flowers, overseas people, all our families overseas. And we said, not the flowers. She would hate there to be a mountain of flowers. We'll do a few flowers, but send the money. We're going to buy shoes for the children.
Mm.
And so the money came in. And because of her last Facebook page post, we called it Happy, Happy, Happy Feet. And about 3 weeks after the funeral service, we went out with these shoes that we bought, and we found children, and we put them on these children's feet. And we put it on our CMI page, and we thought that would be the end of that. Well, it's 9 years now, and barely a month goes by that we don't go out. Every month we're going out putting shoes on children's feet. People donate
Amen.
Money. And we have a contact to buy the shoes at an inexpensive price. We pay about $4 a pair for them, maybe $5 a pair for the shoes. And we go and we put them on the children in the township. And God's blessed it abundantly, absolutely abundantly. And it's become a great blessing to us to remember how it started. And to continue it as long as God allows us to. And when we're done, we're done. And, you know, and maybe it'll carry on as long as we carry on. But as long as the money comes in, we put the shoes on the children.
Wow.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Amen. When I heard a while back how this ministry came, how this came about, it really just breaks my heart. But then at the same time, I well up with joy when you see how the Lord will bless, even in the most difficult, trying of times, with the loss of a child, that something so tremendous comes out of it, that you see the hand of God working in and door after door opening. And well, yeah. Most people know that I'm an open-air preacher. I love to get in. I love to witness. I love to do one-on-ones. That's where the Lord has really just burdened my heart. But he's also shown me, not only in his word, but in through interactions, that we also have a responsibility, if he's made the provision, to go and be faithful stewards to help provide for those who do not have, and to see the Lord making provision for you, and then you are selflessly going out into these communities. It's a tremendous blessing. It's just a tremendous blessing, as it opens a door for the gospel to reach into people's lives that normally wouldn't. I immediately think of when Jesus is feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000, he's not only making provision there, but he's teaching them the word and he's preaching the gospel. And so when I see this happening, I just sit back and go, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. So thank you for sharing with that for me.
Welcome. And after Kim passed away, we moved to another home, and it was number 41. And so we looked at what Psalm 41 to see what it said. And Psalm 41, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who gives to the poor.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what we do. We see these poor people. We see children who have never been to school because they don't have any clothes to wear to go to school in, and they're embarrassed to go to school. And we were there a couple of weeks ago, and there was a girl of about 10 years old, and I said to her, why aren't you in school today? Do you go to school? She said, yes, I do go, but I couldn't go today because my clothes were in the laundry and it rained in the night and they're not dry and I have nothing else to wear.
Wow.
Well, we can't imagine that your child would have nothing to wear to go to school, so she can't go to school. And education is their key out of the squatter camp. They need Jesus. They need the love of God. But they need to go to school. They need to be able to earn money to get a job. And so it's all part of the training to teach them a different lifestyle than the one they're growing up in.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. If we take time to look through the Old Testament, that is precisely what the Lord, when he was making provisions from not gleaning the entire fields. And when you start seeing how that is just a true biblical means of making provision and helping to train people up and provide for those who are the fatherless, those who are the motherless. That's why I can wholeheartedly sit here and rejoice with this, because when I hear your hearts for Christ, but I also hear your hearts for the very people that God has put you in, it's humbling. And so, again, it's just it's something that I think that people just cannot grasp their arms around until they're actually there. I've seen bits and pieces here and there from different travels, but it's nothing until you're there. And then the sweet fellowship you have with the Lord as you're just reaching out to people. Tremendous blessing.
Amen.
Tremendous. Yeah. Amen. Well, over the last couple of minutes, John, I'd like if you would share, because we're going to get ready and end up here in a few minutes, and I'm going to close out, say goodbye, and I'm going to play the Happy, Happy, Happy Feet song, which I listened to. I loved it. if you will just kind of share with the audience, what are going to be, when I come down there in October, what are some of the actual ministries? What's some of the things that you're going to be throwing me out there to, and I'm going to have sleepless nights, and what can I look forward to? What's going to be happening when we're down there?
Well, you're going to be spending some time with a few of the pastors, because I want them to meet you and to get encouragement from you to be out there reaching the lost with the gospel.
Amen.
And so I know that fits in with the gifting God's given you, Shane, and I'd love you to do that. But also, one of the best ways to be able to teach someone is to show them as well. and you're good at that. And I know that you will be going out into 4 of the different townships, and you will be on the street sharing the love of Jesus. And we're going to be giving out some gospel tracts. And I promise you, you're going to be happy, happy, happy feet with our ministry as well, and play with those children. And so we've got quite a program. And then, of course, you'll also have the opportunity to minister in some of the churches as well on the Lord's Day. And you'll share the gospel with some of the people, some of those pastors that you met in London. Some of them are saying they want to meet you. They want you to come and minister in their church. And most of those pastors are actually pastors that come under our training program and are very keen to have you come and minister. So it's going to be an exciting time.
Oh, amen. John, if people want to get more information about Cape Missions International, about the Happy, Happy, Happy Feet ministry, how can people get, do you have a website? Obviously you're on Facebook.
Yes, we do have Cape Missions International website, Shane, as you know. We have Cape Missions Facebook page as well, as you know. But we do have a web page that they can go on to, and there's full details on there. And if anyone wants to contact us, please feel free to give our email address or contact information. We'll be happy to give more details.
Amen. I think that web address is www.capemissionsint.co.za. So
you're
again,
right.
that's going to be capemissionsint.co.za. Please take time to look into this. Now, you were mentioning it's about $5 a pair of shoes. So for you guys out there listening, if you want to participate in the Happy, Happy, Happy Feet ministry, look on this. You're talking like $500 for 100 shoes. It not only is it just a blessing to be able to share and know that you're contributing to helping provide for those who truly, 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 some do not even have clothes, and that you will be actually helping to equip that, but that you are also bringing the gospel. You're bringing both the physical and the spiritual. You're doing both. So I just want to encourage.
Go ahead, sir. Assure anyone who does that if they provide us with their email address, whatever, we will send pictures and details of where those shoes are placed and pictures of the children that receive them. So we have, as a 501c3 organization, we have full accountability as well in these areas.
Amen.
That's very important here in South Africa.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And as John was saying again, that 501c3, that means they've done the things that are right in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. They've done the biblical part of making sure that they're accountable first to God and then also transparent with man. So that way when you give, that you know that you are doing the right thing. It's not something questionable. There is accountability, transparency, and it is all to bring glory to God the Father.
Amen.
John, Barbara? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Amen. I'm going to get ready. It's just about time for us to switch over. I've got another dear brother coming on. But I wanted to say thank you so much for making yourselves available. You're 6 hours ahead. It's actually after 10 o'clock in Johannesburg right now. I'm very grateful for the both of you taking the time to come onto the program. I hope that sometime in the future you might consider it again. Maybe when I'm down there, we can do a live broadcast together just to share with people what's going on. But thank you both. Amen. Thank you both so very much. And you will remain in prayer as I'm going to close off with the Happy, Happy, Happy Feet song, and then I'm going to come back with Shane Mahoney. Brother, sister, bless you again. Thank you for your time. I am just so eager to get back with you guys.
God bless you, Shane.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless. Thank you both. Grace and peace. We'll talk to you in the very near future. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy, happy, happy is my life right now. No more pain and sorrow, loving where I am. Missing my family and my special friends, but go live for Jesus until we meet again. He's real, oh yes, he's real. I'm safely in his arms. Can't wait for you to see his smile in just a little while. Happy, happy, happy is my life right now. All the dreams I've ever had fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Miss talking with my mom and my sister Jen. But soon we'll walk the streets of gold and do it all again. Shining light, this world so greatly needs. Happy, 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 forever we will be. Happy, 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 for all eternity. When you look into my bright blue eyes and see my smiling face, you know I am with Jesus, surrounded by his grace. You know I am with Jesus, surrounded by his grace. Happy.
Oh my. That just makes you want to like start dancing and stuff like that. Praise God. What I'm telling you, John, the Lord brings people into your life and for whatever season, and they're used to bring, they impart to you. They rub off us. Iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. And I can attest very, very clearly that this man has a desire for everyone around to know who Christ is. And I can tell you that he has a desire to train up men in the way of the Lord so that he can equip them and to send them out also that they might be fishers of men. Very blessed and excited and humbled, and the burden of the Lord upon my heart from coming down there to South Africa is just it is a joy. It's a dream. It is a prayer request, a dream come true. So thank you.
Amen. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, indeed, brother. All right. Well, now I have the great honor of, and Brother John and Barbara, thank you. I'm going to bring on this this other individual now. It's,
okay.
Yeah. It's, oh my goodness, where do I begin, Mr. Mahoney, the Mahoney of the Mahoneys?
Hey, brother, how's it going?
Hey, brother. Oh, my goodness. I am, I don't know. I cannot help but start to smile and almost laugh. And I think about this brother. So back in 2012, I was blessed of the Lord to be able to go overseas to spend 3 months basically in Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and London. I had a couple of days to also go up into Norway. Well, I was going overseas, and the first leg of the overseas tour was going to be in Scotland. We're going to be with another ministry group, and one of the people that was going to be there was this Irishman by the name of Shane Mahoney. Now, I got to know him through basically Facebook and that. We started talking, and little did I know what the Lord had in store for us. The very first time that I got a chance to be around him, we had time of prayer. I was able to watch him preach the gospel out front of the first church, or one of the churches John Knox preached at. And I can sincerely tell you that very few other brothers have such a desire to preach the gospel, to call all to repentance and faith. It's quite infectious. And so after coming back from overseas, I was praying and asking the Lord, you know, what do I do? And it was put upon my heart to ask this brother to be a part of United in Christ Jesus. And he accepted. And since that time, I have been just blessed to watch this brother go to different countries, go out into his own backyard. I've had the blessing of going over and spending a couple of weeks with him and his wife, Tracy, my wife, Holly, and I, where we did an evangelism tour there. I have just been blessed by this brother, and so grateful that he's joining us today, because there's some great news about what's going on in the life of my brother. So hello there, dear brother. How's it going on that side of the pond?
Well, bro, it's great to talk to you, and it was great listening to John as well. You know, it's amazing to hear what they're doing, what's happening over in South Africa, and he's got a wonderful voice as well. So it was really encouraging. So, yeah,
amen.
You know, so yeah.
You should come join me down there.
I'm not really so good at the singing.
What's that?
I'm not so good at the singing, so I'm going to have this just stick to the preaching.
Well, neither am I. We'll let him sing. He can draw the crowds, and then we'll preach. How's that?
That sounds good to me, bro. That sounds
Amen
great.
Amen to that. Because, I mean, oh, my goodness. The choir, I'm telling you, there's some tremendous voices there. So, brother, it's been a couple of months, I guess. And you dropped this bombshell on me one day, and
yeah,
I kind of sat back and I was like, okay, this is the first I'm hearing of this. And I know you had mentioned something probably about a year ago to me, but just it was kind of like in passing, not anything serious. But brother, what has the Lord put on your heart, and where are you wanting to go?
Well, brother, it's one of those things. It's like since I was saved, pretty much straight after that, when I got saved, the Lord has basically, I was pretty much straight away reaching out to the last, you know, just literally hit the streets, you know, and so missions in a way has always been, literally since I was saved until now, it's always been a daily thing with me, where I just a continuous just wanting to bring the good news to the last, and So everywhere I go wherever we go is a mission field. But it was really, I reckon it was a couple of years ago that I just started to have started to gravitate towards wanting to go basically for some time, for a year, to go on the mission field to a place where Christ has never been basically been made known. And so somehow or other, by the Lord's leading, I got talking to a brother, what the audience might not be aware of, called Daniel Stephen Kearney, who has at that time been in India, reaching out to Last Era. And I just got talking to him. I think it was pretty much a year. It was actually probably really a year ago that I started to really, really take it seriously and think about actually going abroad. I've been praying on and off about it, with things going on in private life, and then with evangelism in Ennis and being focused on that. It was kind of on and off, but then I found myself thinking more of it and praying more about it, and then actually talking to Daniel. We've been speaking back and forth to Daniel about the possibility of me wanting to come over. I told him I had a desire to go over there just after seeing the work happening in Nepal. For the audience who might not be aware, that's where Daniel is, located in is Nepal. And so I had that desire to go and to join him, because the harvest is plentiful there. There's so many people over there who need the gospel, and there are people, basically there's so many of them who've never even heard of the name of Christ. They don't even know who Jesus is. And so that's the way it was, bro. Is what we've been talking back and forth with Daniel, been praying about it. He's been giving me feedback about what's happening there. And so it was really then, as you know, I got speaking to you and told you about my desire and my heart to go there. And I'd gone to the church. I had gone to my local fellowship and told them of my desire to go there with Tracy, to go and to serve there. And so the church was fully behind me, because they said, well, we know, because they know that I'm out on the streets often, representing the local church here, reaching the lost, and they said, well, they would be fully behind me. And so that's pretty much what I went to the church. I wrote a letter and I gave them an outline of my plan and the kind of the finances that I would need and what would be happening on a day-to-day basis over there in Nepal. And so they were praying for me and they were fully behind me. And by God's grace, there have been people that have been, have been so great, so really kind to me, that they've actually, they've donated the finances. And so I'm just really, I was really humbled, really, by people's generosity, I guess, So, that's pretty much, in terms of that, bro, but Nepal, like I said, Nepal is it's a predominantly Hindu nation. It's the place, especially that I would be going to, is Kathmandu, and it's like the majority is Hindu. It's Hindu, and then Buddhism, and Christianity really only makes up, Christians only makes about 1% of Nepal. It's a nation, a country that has come out really out of basically, it was more communist. And now since 2008, there's been a lot more freedom in terms of, being able to proclaim the gospel from that time on. There's been a lot of, it's been very hard for the people over there, because there is a lot of problems, like a lot of places in the world there is, but they've really had a lot of problems with poverty, they're plagued with poverty, illiteracy, unemployment, and there's a lot that they go through a lot of hardship over there. You know, that's what I've gathered from Daniel.
Yeah.
I don't know. In terms of human trafficking is one of the big problems over there, human trafficking. I mean, they have child labor over there. There's sex trafficking. I mean, 5,000 to 10,000 women and girls are trafficked to India from Nepal every year.
Wow.
Yeah, and poverty is a huge thing over there as well, you know.
Yeah, it's when we think about again, you know, I was talking with John, and here in America, and even in Ireland, we take a lot of things for granted. I mean, we take for granted that, you know, we got clothes, we got a place to stay. We take for granted all of these different basics, necessities. We take security for granted. You know, we got, whether it's constables or police or whatever, we have a sense of security. And a lot of these things are not even a part of the daily life down in South Africa and Nepal. It's a struggle. And to have people to actually go over and to be immersed and to preach the gospel, it's just a testimony of the grace of God. And I know that when you had shared with me what you were wanting to do, I was like, praise God. I could see you doing that. I could easily envision seeing you there just day in, day out, you know, just reasoning with people, preaching, and I just could not wait to get you on the program to have you talk about it, and so we could also talk about how people can come alongside of you and to help and prepare and to pray. So, yeah, brother, it's pretty amazing. It seems like Ireland though lately has been having a lot of difficulties. There's this thing with, I guess, an abortion issue going on over there. It seems like people are really, a lot of people who say they're churchgoers, but they're not really Christian. They're just, you know, they're just by name only. Yeah, I believe, and they live however they want. And what's it like to be out on the streets over there in Ireland?
Oh my, well, that's the thing. It's funny because it changes, you know, being on the street, you know, it changes, you know, changes day by day, you know. But I mean, it's like, of course, when I've been up there, you know, like, I mean, I've changed kind of location. It's kind of funny because even changing the location, it seems to be there seems to be a kind of a different kind of a different response and a different kind of you know, it's funny, just even changing locations, how it can change the whole environment, changes, you know. I mean, last time when I was up at the, as you know, where you, when you came over and where you preached, when you were with me,
right,
the last time I was there, the abuse that we've got is just amazing. I mean, we had people there, and as you know, the usual people just being blasphemous and getting angry But what I do love still, even though there's that opposition, we're still seeing though from that. But there's, you know, you see people, their hearts are being hardened to the gospel. But then there are others though that you're seeing actually, but they have, you know, but they're being convicted of sin and that they actually are coming to the Lord. I mean, even in the last year, we had we seen some fruit of the, you know, the preaching where. You might be familiar with this, actually, even just recently, a brother there was baptized only there on last month, and he's one of those people that came to faith in Jesus through the evangelism in Ennis. So, and the church has seen that, and it's wonderful to see, you know, the church has seen this and is being encouraged and is being spurred on, and that's where I'm at is that I'm trying to spur on the church and encourage the church and equip the church
Amen.
Because it's not a one-man show. It's, you know, we're all meant to, you know, we all have, we've been given the charge to preach the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean everyone is going to go and stand on the street and proclaim the gospel. But whether that is one-on-one or handing out tracts, Jesus has commanded us to go out into the world and preach the gospel. So,
amen.
The long, you know, long story short, basically, we've seen people, you know, being, you know, challenged by the gospel in Ennis, and even now at the moment, we have many people from around the world, like Germans and Spanish, Italian people from around the world who are coming to Ennis, and so my prayer is not just for the Irish people, but also those people who are coming, who might receive a gospel tract, but the Lord will do something, will bring them to repentance and faith, and but they will bring that back to wherever they're coming from. And so we just literally go out there, and we sow in faith, knowing that God, you know, knowing that Jesus is the author and finisher of faith, and that He will accomplish His work.
Amen. He will save His people, and that's I got to tell you, brother. When we first met, we were able to get out and preach, and even when we came over in Ireland, it's amazing how we would watch things happening. We'd just go in faith and know that we preach to an audience of one, bring everyone to the foot of the cross, and just praise God, and that seed will fall on one of four soils, and then we just continue preaching Christ and rejoicing that he's having mercy on those who do not deserve mercy. So amen. What a testimony. I, you know, you and I have been in Scotland together. We've been in Ireland together. You've also been blessed. You and Tracy went over to Italy for a little bit of time. And of course you had some Italian gospel tracts printed up. I was like, well, if he gets over to Rome, I'm sure he's going to stand outside there. And
yeah, I don't know though. I think if I did, my blood would have boiled.
Yeah.
It would be working on me that way, you know.
Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. So, you know, I think about how the Lord has just blessed United in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking about this not too long ago. This, with you being granted to go to Nepal, and now it looks like it's going to be January, right? Maybe the beginning of February that you're going to go?
Pretty much, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hope, anyway.
So, yeah, so for those of you who didn't know, Shane was planning on heading out around July, August. He was hoping to head out to Nepal then, but the person who's in country that he was going to be ministering alongside of actually had to come back to the United States, and his wife had to spend 6 months here in order for like the green card and the visa, that type of thing, to work. So it basically got sprung on him, which I'm actually in. I know Shane's not going to like to hear this, but I'm actually kind of glad I kind of shared with him, because it gives you a lot of time then to start really getting things in place. People don't understand that when you go out for a year, things continue to happen at your home. Things continue to happen. You're sent away. You're gone. And when you come back, there's all sorts of things that you have to do to get prepared. It's not only just the logistics, but also from a spiritual standpoint and prayer and fasting, just getting your heart right. And so I was actually kind of relieved to hear it in such a way. But, you know, brother, amen. I was sitting back and thinking, since 2011, now, and this is the amazing thing, between Ben Adams, and for those of you who don't know, Ben Adams is another, he's another member, co-laborer with United in Christ Jesus. With all of this combined, we've been to think when South Africa and Nepal happens, we will have traveled to 10 different countries, been able to preach the gospel and minister, teach, be taught in 10 different countries, and we probably will have actually exposed directly or indirectly anywhere from 100,000 up to 1 million people that the Lord has granted. Wow. When I sit back and I think about that, I think the stat is for every track you hand out, it touches like 4 other people's hands. And wow. So you think about the thousands upon thousands of tracks that, you know, the Lord's granted for us to hand out. The open air preaching, the people from, you know, when I lived in St. Augustine, 3 million people a year coming from all over the world would hear the gospel. You go to different countries. You're in Ireland, which is a huge tourist area. And so I just sat back and started really just praising the Lord for what he's done. And,
amen.
You know, here it is, you know, you and I, who are we? I mean, who are we to even take the words of the Lord and even speak them? I mean, seriously, I go, man, of all the sinners, Paul says he's the chief of all, but man, how can I even speak his name?
Yeah.
I mean, if anything,
I feel
should
like
just
every day.
That's the beauty. It's like he has such mercy on us in granting us to actually go and to preach his gospel. It's such an honor. It's such a privilege. It's a blessing. And I mean, we should be face down on the ground in sackcloth and ashes. And
it truly is incredible when you think that, you know, the Lord doesn't need to use us, and yet he wants to use us to proclaim the gospel, to bring other people to proclaim his excellencies, to make Christ known. And it's very humbling.
Amen.
As well, because the fact that we have this huge responsibility to not only proclaim the gospel, but to make sure that what we're preaching is the gospel. Because what I'm seeing grow in, you know, in Ireland, or just, of course, not just now, but around the world, is that there are so many gospels going out there, but it is not the true gospel.
Amen.
And it's one of the problems that we have here in Ireland, almost a social gospel. One of the big things now we have problems here in Ireland is the seeker sensitive movement. And so I don't want to get off topic, but that's just one of the things that we have a problem with here in Ireland is basically let's all get along and you know, say this prayer and then you're kind of okay. And that's one of the big problems we have in Ireland is that the people are not being convicted because they're not hearing the truth.
Amen.
And that's where I get really annoyed. Because I want people to know the truth.
Amen.
I want people to know what Christ has done. And yet we know that how can people truly know the amazing grace if they don't know the danger they're in?
You know, and that's the beautiful part, is that when we understand, when we actually take time to read through the scripture and understand the scriptures and then look at the context, how often did the Lord Jesus, how often did the disciples, how the apostles, how often when they were preaching, they weren't just saying, hey, guess what? Here's something happy, feel good, just believe, yay, rah, rah, ree, let's now get around the campfire. What you believe is okay, I believe is okay, but everybody be happy. No, they were saying you have sin in your life, and you've sinned against God. And so what I'd like, brother, and I think, praise God, that's a great segue. If you take about 10 minutes or so, we got about 15 minutes left of the program. Will you take about 10 minutes and actually preach the gospel so that those who are listening, if they've never heard the true gospel, if they've never heard this, would you take a few minutes and just preach the gospel? And then also, Lord willing, if you're listening to this program either now or whenever it's finished uploading and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never heard the gospel, if you think the gospel is just the Bible or a book in the Bible, and you've never heard the gospel, My friends, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Shane, would you do us the great honor and would you share the gospel with us now?
I'd be more than blessed to do that. I'd be more than blessed to do this. Saints, for all of you just people out there, if you're hearing me right now, I need to share this with you because it's so important. It's so important about your eternity, where you're going to spend eternity. But before, I just want to say that the gospel starts with God. I just want to share this scripture first. The Bible says, "Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." My friends, the reality of the gospel talks about this, talks about God, the fact of this awesome God, this wonderful God that created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says in Psalm 15:1, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the work, skies proclaim the work of his hands. My friend, the Bible talks about this God who is a holy God, a God who is righteous and just and merciful, and a God of justice and a God of righteousness. My friend, the Bible says that God is holy, which means he's separate from sinners. In 1 Samuel 2:2, it says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." And the Bible says in Psalm 77:13, "Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God?" You see, my friends, we were created in God's image. And the reason that we were created was to bring glory to God. We were created to rightly represent God and to be ambassadors for him on this earth. And my friend, the issue is that we haven't given God that glory. We haven't given God that praise that is due to his name. And this is where we have failed. We haven't done what is right before our God. And my friends, the Bible talks about God bringing the commandments to Moses and saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me." And in the commandments it says, "But you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, you shall not murder." And yet, Jesus said, "If you hate your brother without cause, you're a murderer at heart." My friends, the Bible says that we've all broken God's good and perfect law. And by doing this, we have then said that God is a liar, that God is an adulterer, that God is a blasphemer. You see, my friends, we were created to represent God rightly in this earth. And the issue is that we're sinners. We're sinners by nature. And sin basically is a missing the mark. But the Bible says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is a transgression of the law. And the reason why we do this, my friend, is because we have a sinful nature, which we inherited from Adam. In Psalm 51:5 it says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And it also says, "But none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, no, not even one." My friend, all of us are guilty. For the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And because God is good and because God is just, God must punish sin. And God hath said in his word that he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. God will hold us accountable, my friends, because he is a God who loves what is good. He loves what is right. He loves what is just. And the Bible says in Nahum 1:3, that the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. My friends, the Bible says that God has ascribed a punishment for those who have sinned against him. And this punishment is an eternal conscious torment in the lake of fire. It speaks of this in Revelation 20:13-15. And in Nahum 1:6, it says, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. My friends, this is serious. I come to you because I care about you. And I want to know, I want to tell you what the good news is. And I want to ask you now as you hear me, does this concern you? Does it concern you that if you were to die today and you were to stand before your Creator, that you would end up in hell? But my friend, the gospel, you see, the gospel is good news. It is wonderful news. You see, God is a God of justice, he's a God of holiness. But also the Bible says that God is a God of mercy and compassion. In Psalm 103:8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. My friend, God did something marvelous and wonderful for you. The Bible says that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. In John 1:1, it says, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, born of a virgin, and yet he was without sin. He lived a perfect life, and he kept the very law that we have broken countless times. And my friends, the Bible says that he went to the cross. See, no one took his life from him. He went voluntarily to the cross. Jesus said, no one can take my life. I give it freely. My friends, on that cross, he took the full weight of God's wrath upon himself. God's wrath, think of the Father, for all of that, the justice and the righteous indignation that God has for sin was poured upon his own Son. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, that it pleased God to crush his own Son. Oh, my friends, think about the love of God, for God would send his Son for sinful man. And the Bible says in John 3:16, says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And we're reminded in Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates his love towards us, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But my friends, that's not the end. You see, Jesus was on the cross, and he said on the cross, it is finished. His sacrifice, my friend, was perfect and complete. He paid for our sin on that cross. And as you know, he was buried in the grave with the wicked. He rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death, and proved that by his sacrifice was perfect and complete through his resurrection. Oh, my friends, it's this wonderful news that knowing that Jesus Christ, he died for us, and that he is alive today, he rose again from the grave. But my friends, the Bible says that there's something that we must do to respond to this wonderful gospel. We read it in Acts 17:31, where it says, God commands all men to repent, because he's appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this by raising from the dead. My friends, the Bible says that we must repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a turning to God. It's a heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, and a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ. And faith, my friends, is trusting what Christ has done for you on the cross. Coming to know that there is nothing that you can do to save yourself, but know that Christ has done the perfect and complete work for us. Today is the day of salvation. My friends, you must know that this salvation is a free gift of God. Isaiah 64:6 that says that even the best of our works are filthy rags before a holy God. And Ephesians 3:9 says that, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God promises his true word, but if you would repent and turn to Christ, that he would remove your sins from you, that you would be forgiven, cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. But as far as the east is from the west, so far will he move your transgressions from you. But God commands you as well. Jesus says to count the cost. See, Jesus said in Matthew, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. My friends, Christ commands you to deny yourself, to follow him, and to turn from your sin and to trust in him alone. My friends, I ask you, if you hear me today, that you would do this today, because you are not promised tomorrow. As the Bible says, that our lives are like a mist, but appears for a little time and then vanishes. Today is a day of salvation. If you will hear me today now, turn to Christ so that you may have eternal life and be saved. Thank you for listening to me. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me just, with all the love and urgency that I can, just reiterate, share again, that we are told that God, the first time that Jesus came, he came as the suffering servant. He came to make a way where there was no way. My friends, I have to tell you in love, though, the next time that Jesus comes, he does not come as the suffering servant. He comes as the roaring lion of Judah, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians, that he is coming when he is revealed with his angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of God. My friends, it tells us his robe is dipped in blood. This is when he returns, for those who are eagerly awaiting him, it's not going to be in reference to sin. It's going to be with him, to see him as he is, to enjoy him and to have fellowship with God, to be in his presence, to worship. Joys unspeakable, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. But to those who mock the love of God and trample on the blood of Jesus Christ, woe is you, for our God is a God of fire, an all-consuming fire. Do not go to that day not wrapped in the righteousness of Christ. Brother Shane, bless you. Thank you for sharing the gospel. I want to tell people that Shane has, again, needs as well. If you go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org, and you want to come along and partner with Shane in the trip to Nepal, or even on a monthly basis, you can contribute to United in Christ Jesus. And if you go through the PayPal, which is the preferred means, if you will put in the note, this is for Shane Mahoney, then those monies will be distributed and sent to him, so that Shane can continue to go out on the streets day in, day out, sharing Christ. Also, if you wish to come alongside of him for the trip to Nepal, he has not only the need of getting there, but being sustained, and then the coming back. Please prayerfully consider partnering with us, partnering with Shane in this beautiful and wonderful missions trip, where he will be, immersed for a year. Again, you can look us up on Facebook, on Twitter. And Shane might be coming back, and we might be doing co-hostings now for I don't know how long. But Brother Shane, it's been a pleasure to have you on, brother. And I will ready. Grace and peace to you, brother. Thank you for being with us.
And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, bro. And it was great fellowshipping with you. And look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Amen. I'm hoping that we can do this a little bit more often. All right, everyone. With that, I'm going to sign off. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, repent. Come to the Father through the Son as He is prescribed. If you do know Him, rejoice, lift up praises, and declare His praises to all people everywhere. Grace and peace to you all, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing. Bye now.
Amen.